episode 476, Anthony Hopkins hops into the Transformers universe. And other news.
I almost forgot that.
Yeah, I always forget that. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are back, everyone. Talk about some sad news.
Now, we did do a news episode last week.
Kinda.
But you want to repeat all of the news we discussed last week, assuming you're assuming people will skip that episode.
Yeah.
So last week we did this episode called Dinner and a Movie and Other News. Basically, Ben and I got together to go watch a movie at his place. On the way to his place, we stopped at a restaurant.
Right.
Set down a mini recorder and ate and talked.
Right.
And you feel like people probably tuned out.
I have a feeling that's going to be a less listened to episode than our norms.
All right. Well, we could rehash some news then if you want.
Yeah, I think so.
Anthony Hopkins is the top news of the day, and this is sort of surprising.
Well, and there have been, like we talked about the Rogue One stuff on that episode, there have been further developments.
Okay, I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Anthony Hopkins quickly. Basically, it's just casting news. He has some part in the new Transformers movie. I mean, he's joined into this
what
large
is he doing?
Transformers universe. I mean, he's a great actor.
He
doesn't need to do this. Do you think it's possible Transformers 5 is going to be a masterpiece?
No.
This is the first one I'm skipping. So.
I feel like, you know, they've got like the Screen Actors Guild and the Directors Guild. I feel like they need to pass a resolution or something in these various unions that Michael Bay is not allowed to cast Oscar-winning actors in his movies. It's just not.
So let's think about this. He doesn't need the money.
No.
So the options are maybe if he has grandkids, it's possible he wants to do it for their sake. Because I've heard some people in regards to the Marvel Cinematic Universe that they do it just for their grand. I think Michael Douglas said that about his grandkids. So
well,
it's possible.
Does he hate his grandkids?
Okay. A second option is it's a legitimately good script.
That's not possible. I mean, it's not like Anthony Hopkins has a perfect track record. He starred in The World's Fastest Indian and Thor. So there's that.
Well, have you ever seen The World's Fastest Indian?
No, but watch the trailer for it sometime. There's no way that's a good movie.
You've watched the trailer for that?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this movie.
When it was first coming out.
You watched the trailer when it first came out?
Well, yeah, like this is 10 years ago or something. I saw the trailer in the theaters.
Honestly never even heard of that movie. Are you going to his IMDb?
That's what I'm just on his Wikipedia page. But yeah, so Sir Anthony Hopkins, I think that Queen Elizabeth, if you're listening, I think this is grounds to rescind his knighthood. I think you could legitimately take it away. You can let us know about that.
I'm just quickly taking a look through here. Oh, he's going to be in Westworld, which debuts this fall on HBO.
Right.
I'm just trying to see what could be bad from recent years.
Maybe the only other thing I can think of is I've told you the story of Michael Caine when he starred in one of the Jaws sequels where he never actually saw the movie. He agreed to star in the movie when he opened it up, and on page one it said exterior Bahamas, scene one, and he wanted a free vacation to the Bahamas. So maybe that's the type of thing. Maybe it's filming somewhere very nice that Anthony Hopkins has always wanted to go.
I remember back in 2010 when you and I attended Epic Life Church together, there was this movie poster up in the movie theater where we attended church for The Wolfman.
Right.
And Anthony Hopkins was in that movie. So yeah, he doesn't always pick great movies.
That's true. He played C.S. Lewis once upon a time.
That's right. In Shadowlands? Is that what it was
called? Right. But yeah, I'm looking through his filmography right now, and I haven't seen all of them, like I said, but this seems to be the low point. This really seems like the low point.
You know what movie I kind of liked that he was in? The Mask of Zorro.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, kind of fun.
I thought you were going to say The Silence of the Lambs, and then I remembered who I was talking to.
Nope, not that one.
You have seen that, though. It's one of the few horror movies you've actually seen.
Yeah, I had to watch it in my film class back in 2001.
Yeah, you were not a fan.
Interesting. Do you remember in 2002, he co-starred with Chris Rock in a movie called Bad Company?
Yeah, that was a low point.
Joel Schumacher.
Ooh. Yeah, and Thor, I think, is pretty far down there. But I would rather watch Bad Company than Transformers The Last Night.
All right, so let's move it on from the top news to some news we briefly discussed last week, and you have some updates on Gareth Edwards going rogue.
Yeah, so Rogue One. So the reports came out that 40% of it's being reshot, or rumors, I should say, and that Christopher McQuarrie, who is the screenwriter, was going to be overseeing them. He came out and said, no, I'm not going to oversee them. And that's all nonsense, and these are all lies, lies, lies. And then it came out just a couple days ago that Tony Gilroy, who was the screenwriter on all of the Bourne movies so far, and the director of George Clooney movie from about 10 years ago called Michael Clayton, which I think is just a phenomenal film, very underrated. Unfortunately, he also directed The Bourne Legacy, so he has that knock against his filmography. But he is going to be officially overseeing the reshoots, or as the way Disney put it, he's come in to help out, whatever that means. So this does not look good.
So is this sort of like a new director is taking over for 40% of the movie?
Well, I have a feeling the 40% number is exaggerated. I think it's substantial, but I'd be shocked if it's that. If it was that high, they couldn't make December.
Okay, but it is sort of a new director coming in to...
Yeah. I think Edwards is still involved. I don't think he's being replaced, but he's, you know, hey, Gareth, I want to introduce you to Tony. He's going to be spending some time with you the next couple weeks, okay?
It's kind of like I had a job once. Where one of my coworkers was warned by our supervisor that, not warned, sorry, let me say it a different way. He told her that he saw that there was a lot of work on her plate, and so he was going to hire somebody to help her.
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like she was getting like a part-time help or a temp worker or something. Our boss at that time ended up hiring a new supervisor for her.
Exactly.
Who was going to be
taking
some of the work off her plate, but then also overseeing her and managing her. So, that's basically what's happening.
Now, the rumors are that this is all being caused, and again, these are rumors, so take it with a grain of salt, that this is being caused because the tone of the movie is too much of a war movie feel, and Disney wants it to have the same feel as A New Hope.
Okay.
Because... we just made a movie that felt exactly like New Hope, so why not do that again?
Now, I don't know if I said this to you. I don't think I said this to you on the air. It must have been just through Facebook as we chat here and there. I was thinking possibly they'll push back the release date. And you were saying...
there's no way they'll do that.
Yeah, Disney really wants to hold on to that December release date for every Star Wars movie. But I think under normal circumstances, like you were saying, there's no way they're going to be able to get this done and ready by December.
Yeah, it would be the smart thing to do.
If they cared about a good movie.
But when it comes down to it, it's not just that, like, they want to have that December release date for the rest of eternity as theirs.
Yeah.
And if they show movement from that, then other franchises could start to come in and contest that territory. But after The Force Awakens, just from a business perspective, they have that. Mm-hmm. And so to back out of that right now. And you remember that, I don't remember if it was this one or Episode 8 was originally going to be in May. I think it was Episode 8 was going to be May of next year. Mm-hmm. And they pushed it back to as soon as they saw how successful Force Awakens was in that weekend. They pushed it back there because, I mean, you think about it financially, you have the week before Christmas, you have Christmas week, then you have New Year's week, and so you essentially have 3 weeks where you get to be the movie up until through the new year, and then there's nothing really big coming out in January. That's not a high time for movies, whereas you go to May, and you get summer movies coming in after that, and so just financially... it makes a lot of sense for them to do that.
Yeah, and you and I had mentioned before that this movie has to be successful for Disney because it's going to set the tone for all their future anthology standalone movies. They're calling these, you know, a Star Wars story, but
right.
Just because it's Star Wars doesn't mean that people are going to go see it as much as they saw Force Awakens. So this has to be good, and I think Episode 8 will do amazing, but... if Rogue One isn't great, the Solo or Han Solo film, is it going to be called Young Han Solo?
I don't know.
So the Young Han Solo film Maybe people will be wary of that, or just future kind of on their own movies.
Well, I think people are already wary of that. Like, we've talked about, and I think the general consensus is, okay, Rogue One, I wasn't ever asking to hear how the Death Star plans were stolen, but okay, but young Han Solo, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do a really bad job on this one. That's going to go from, I don't know about that, to, no, do not touch Han Solo.
Yeah.
And it's just going to push people that much farther.
And that Han Solo movie, that's going to start filming in December, or sorry, in January.
Right.
So that's just right around the corner. That's according to Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah. I mean, my personal opinion on that is I don't want him to touch Han Solo regardless. I think that's going to be a really weird movie to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Ben, I've got two mermaid-related pieces of news. Do you have any mermaid-themed news?
I'm tapped out on mermaids this week. All right,
well, here, I'll give you the first one. You know, Disney's going crazy with these live-action remakes.
Right.
So next on their list that they're considering is a live-action Little Mermaid. How do your kids feel about the original Little Mermaid movie?
They're fans. I don't think they've watched it for a while. But yeah.
I'm over all these live action things. You know, I haven't even seen
I haven't seen
the live action Jungle Book. It's getting some good reviews. I just am not interested.
No.
Yeah.
Don't need to see Beauty and the Beast.
Oh yeah, that's happening too. That's right. Oh, I never saw the Cinderella.
No, don't need to see Cinderella.
And my second piece of Mermaid News has to do with a 80s remake that is in the works.
Oh, I know this. I do have, yeah.
Yeah, producer Brian Grazer is looking at remaking Splash, which was a Tom Hanks-led mermaid film from the 80s.
Now, I've never seen Splash. My understanding is he finds a mermaid in a pool. Is that correct?
I don't know. I have seen parts of it as a child. What happens in that movie? I think she is only a mermaid when she's in water, but then if she is on land, she can have legs, I think.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's kind of a superpower.
So, like, if she...
You think Brian Grazer is making a superhero movie?
It's kind of a weird superpower, though, because if you take a shower, do you just collapse into a fish?
You can only do baths.
You can only do baths. Yeah. But, yeah, if I was going to be a I guess I'd be a merman.
Merman,
but,
right.
Yeah, that's the way I'd want it to be.
Yeah, seems like a pretty good deal. All right, what's your piece of news?
Oh, man. Well, speaking of Disney, Netflix and Disney are going to have some kind of deal where they're going to have a lot of Disney movies on Netflix in September, so maybe time to cancel Netflix for those of us who want to take a stand against the evil and corruption and just general awfulness that is Disney.
Now, I think it just needs to be said. I think you need to better your system when it comes to news organization.
Because did we already cover this?
Yeah, we've covered that piece of news. But it's okay.
Do you want to know what my system is?
I know exactly what it is. Flip forward, and then eventually
I see something I recognize. Yeah. Okay. Have we covered this?
Yeah, ask me.
Wesley Snipes is interested in doing Blade 4.
You know, I don't think we have.
Yeah.
I would say I'm against it.
Is he out of prison?
He must be. Well, Marvel has the rights to Blade, so they're obviously going to make a new Blade. I'm guessing it will be a Netflix show.
Right.
Because that seems to be the way they're going with those types of heroes.
Yeah.
So I think Wesley Snipes might be out of luck on this. He could possibly have a cameo. But
I think he needs it, though, because, you know, you go on the internet, you can find people who believe anything, and you can find theories about how you don't actually have to pay your taxes. There's people out there who believe that like, if you go through the laws, you're not actually required to pay your taxes, and Wesley Snipes decided that he believed that theory.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the federal government decided they didn't.
They didn't agree.
They did not agree. So he was arrested. So he probably needs the money. So yeah, Blade 4.
Do you think he'll get back into acting? I mean, obviously he wants to, but do you think Hollywood will
Did he ever get
back
out of it?
Well, while he was in jail.
Yeah. Maybe he and Mel Gibson could do like a team-up movie.
Wait, was Mel Gibson in jail?
Well, no, but he's not exactly been the most popular guy.
Oh, wait a second. You know what Wesley Snipes should do? Expendables.
Oh, yeah. Mel Gibson did that.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wait, did Wesley Snipes do the Expendables? I'm still on IMDb. Let's just take a quick look here. All right, Wesley Snipes, what do you got happening on your filmography? All right,
so he was pretty busy up to 2000. He was in Expendables 3.
Yeah, I thought so.
He played Doc.
All right.
He had a couple of direct-to-video movies. So
here's what I think. I bet they'll let him appear in the Netflix Blade TV show as somebody. I think that's the right thing to do.
Papa Blade.
Papa Blade? Exactly.
Exactly.
All right. Next piece of news.
Okay. Bryan Singer is taking a break from X-Men movies. I have not seen Apocalypse. You have. I almost don't want to see it because I know I'm not going to like it. And I loved First Class and I really like Days of Future Past. Bryan Singer ruins everything.
What else has he ruined?
Superman.
Yeah, but that one was kind of...
Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't done a really good movie, though, since Usual Suspects.
Speaking of Superman, so we've already covered that Supergirl Season 2 will be on CW. I guess the character Superman never appeared during Season 1.
Right.
But he will be appearing during Season 2 on the CW.
Gotta get those ratings up somehow.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. We had talked about Force Awakens earlier. John Boyega, who is Finn in Force Awakens, this is a bad choice by him, but he is set to star in the sequel to Pacific Rim.
Right.
I did not like Pacific Rim.
I didn't see it.
I'm kind of bummed for him. I mean, he's a good actor, liked his character in Force Awakens. I want him to do good things. The sequel to Pacific Rim wouldn't be at the top of my list of things for an up-and-coming actor.
They probably came at him with a lot of money.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
Oh, let's see. Brie Larson from Room, which was a fantastic movie from last year, nominated for the Best Picture, didn't win it, but I highly recommend you go see it if you haven't, is apparently Marvel's top choice to play Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Who is a woman.
Yes, Captain Marvel is a woman. Good, good call. Do you know anything about that character?
Well, I just was specifying because like people hear Captain, they think like Captain America.
Well, there is actually...
When I hear Captain Marvel, if I didn't know anything about the character, I would guess that's a man.
Well, Captain Marvel in DC is a man. So, yeah, but it's
very confusing.
But Marvel also has a character named Captain Marvel.
Right.
And that's a woman.
Very confusing.
Before the current Captain Marvel, who was a woman, was Captain Marvel, there was a man who was Captain Marvel.
Oh, my goodness.
So Carol Danvers
is
the current female Captain Marvel, and that is who Brie Larson may be playing, possibly.
Yeah, I'm against this for the same reason that I'm against when interesting directors like Garth Edwards or whoever get sucked into these cinematic universes, because I feel like they're formulaic to the point where anybody can do them. So just bring in anybody to do them and let people who are better at doing the small stuff, character-driven stuff, story-driven stuff, do those movies and stay in those worlds. I mean, I'm sure that I'm happy for her because she'll probably make a lot of money, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay out of the cinematic universes.
Speaking of females, you know that there's an upcoming female-led cast for Ghostbusters as well.
Right.
A certain studio, and I'm saying that because I don't know which one, wants to do a female reboot of Ocean's 11.
Dumb.
Well, I mean, I liked Ocean's 11.
Don't reboot it then. Go watch Ocean's 11.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ocean's 11 with George Clooney is actually a remake of...
Of Frank Sinatra, right. Ocean's 11.
So, Cate Blanchett is currently being talked about as being in that movie. Not confirmed yet, but amongst many other stars. Actually,
so why not just, if you want to have your all-female movie, just write a movie that
is
as females doing something.
Right, because Ocean's 11... You don't need to have a character who is named
Danielle Ocean.
Yeah, you don't need Danielle Ocean. You could do the exact same type of heist film, just start a whole new franchise.
Right.
I agree with you, actually, in this way. Let's see. Here are some potentials for being in this movie. Sandra Bullock, Jennifer Lawrence. I already mentioned Cate Blanchett.
Is Sandra Bullock still working these days?
Sure. She was in Blindside a couple years back.
Yeah.
Oh, Gravity. Remember?
That was that's true. She was good in that. I never saw I think it was The Blind Side.
That's what I just said. The Blind Side.
You said Blindsided.
I don't think I said the blind side.
No, I'm pretty sure you said blindsided. Well,
whatever.
Anyway, never saw that because everybody was getting all worked up about how emotional it was.
You don't like feelings?
Well, he plays football. You know, I'm happy for him, but it's not like that's a major life accomplishment, the grand scheme of things.
Okay, here's some more information. Well, I mean, sometimes it is a major life accomplishment.
Well, I guess it's to inspire other people. Well, what are you supposed to do if you're, you know, a 45-year-old single mother working two jobs watching that movie and you get inspired? Go play left tackle for the Baltimore Ravens? Is that what the movie's telling you your life plan should
be? I know you haven't seen the movie, but it's reaching out to somebody in need. She sort of adopts.
Yeah, and getting them to go play for the Baltimore Ravens. That's not a realistic solution to most problems.
Okay, I can see you don't know exactly what this movie's about.
I've never seen it.
So we'll stop talking about that. But I should tell you, Kate Blanchett would be filling the part that Brad Pitt filled in the most current Ocean's trilogy.
And who did he play?
I don't remember. George Clooney's buddy.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on.
Okay.
Any other news you have?
So one of my favorite shows is Archer. Have you ever heard of Archer?
Yeah, it's a cartoon. I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so funny. It's very, very funny. Anyway, the producer said he would like to do a live-action version starring Jon Hamm of Mad Men fame.
Would you like that?
I was thinking about it, because Jon Hamm does look a lot like Sterling Archer. But no, I would not like it because so much of what works about Archer is the performance by H. John Benjamin, who does Archer's voice, and you obviously wouldn't have that. So no, I don't think it would be any good.
Unless Jon Hamm just didn't actually speak his lines and they dubbed that guy's voice over. Would you like that?
That could work.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, Lucille Bluth, I think it's Jessica Walters who plays her, Lucille Bluth on Arrested Development, plays Archer's mom on the show, and it's almost exactly the same character. It's great.
I thought you were going to say Lucille Ball. Does she have a role in Archer?
I think she's dead.
Okay. Next piece of news.
So she could.
Technically.
But it's a voice cast, so.
Next piece of news, X-Files related. More specifically, Gillian Anderson related.
Yeah, I don't think this is X-Files related at all, actually.
Gillian Anderson has been cast in the new TV show American Gods, based on Neil Gaiman's book. She will be playing one of the new gods named Media.
Yeah.
So, would you like to see her in the role of Media? Wasn't a big character in the movie, or in the book.
Yeah, she's not quite how I pictured Media in the book.
You know what? I just read the book within the last 6 months here, and I don't remember that character really at all.
I think she was the one who was speaking to him out of the TV.
Right, but she spoke through the characters on the TV.
Right.
So, what would you picture her like at all? You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's a fair point.
All right, well, so good job.
That's fine.
Good job, Gillian Anderson.
They've got a good cast going.
Yeah. All right, here's another piece of news. This one I just wanted to ask you about. So Arrow Season 5's villain, apparently, we're being told, is being modeled after The Wire's character named Stringer Bell.
Yeah.
Okay, now I don't want you to tell me about The Wire too much. I just want to get your thoughts on, is this a good move? Is Stringer Bell a good character to model somebody after?
It seemed to me like a meaningless statement because Stringer Bell's very complex character.
Okay.
Probably involving slightly more character development than
Arrow Season 5
typically is known for. So I don't understand what they're going for here.
Did you hear about Planet Hulk?
That Thor is involved.
Yeah, so first of all, I haven't read Planet Hulk as a comic series, but everybody really likes it, or that has read it. It seems like it's a popular one. So people have been wanting this movie to exist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We were hearing that wouldn't happen, but now in this third movie for Thor Ragnarok, I guess there's going to be aspects of the Planet Hulk storyline integrated into that film, and this is not spoilers, it's just speculation that how Thor and Hulk are going to team up in this new Thor movie is that Thor is going to come across Hulk on some distant planet. Who knows how that happened, but
right.
I'm sure it will be explained.
I don't think Thor went to a different planet, though.
Well, Thor can travel to any planet.
I meant Hulk.
The last time we saw Hulk was in Age of Ultron. He was flying away on a little ship. There were no implications.
Not a spaceship.
Exactly.
Though.
There were no implications. It was a spaceship, but who knows? Maybe he's just going to get lost on his way back to New York.
Yeah.
If you can picture the cover of Planet Hulk, you see a Hulk in this armor, and I guess they are signing on to have him be in that armor during the movie. So there's something to look forward to.
Planet Maybe Hulk Thor fans. Takes him to Planet Hulk.
It's like, hey, here's a little planet I built for you called yeah. Planet Hulk. All right, I've got four pieces of news left and a little listener feedback.
Okay, I have a couple pieces of news I can hit.
Do it.
And a bombshell.
Oh, yeah. That should be story
You're supposed
time.
To act surprised by that.
Oh, right? My gosh, what?
Yeah. Anyway.
The same bombshell we talked about in last week's news episode?
Exactly.
Okay.
Wanted to give everybody a little update on the Large Hadron Collider.
Oh, yeah. What's been going on over
so,
there?
So, last time we checked in with them, they had big plans for their 2016 session. Well, I just read today that it's well underway, and they are getting all sorts of data. So, that's good. And apparently, there's an app that you can download to your phone that will play music for you based on the collisions or whatever they're doing with that thing that come in through the Large Hadron Collider.
Now, I got a question. Have they discovered parallel universes yet?
No, not yet.
Maybe
that's 2017. But so I'll keep everybody posted, but that's what's going on right now with the Large Hadron Collider.
All right. Now, you said you have one more. Why don't you go ahead and take that? And
So Google has decided, since they're busy experimenting with AI, they are going to build a fail-safe, a kill switch into their AI just in case things go the Terminator skyrocket.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I think just based on 100 years of science fiction, that's probably the way to go.
Yes, exactly. Breaking news here related to DC's Legends of Tomorrow, a TV show I stopped watching. Apparently, they are adding the superhero Vixen to the team during season 2. Now, here's a little backstory on this. Interestingly, after Arrow and Flash debuted on television, CW decided to use the character Vixen as a mini-sode cartoon series on their website.
Right.
So they had this Vixen character, and they ended up bringing the voice actress who was Vixen onto the TV show Arrow for one episode, and then she played the role in real life, too. So now this actress has been Vixen in voice and on television. Well, they must not have been too happy with her, because they have cast Vixen in Legends of Tomorrow, and it'll be a totally different actress playing that character.
Oh, well, that's kind of sad for her.
Yeah, now I can't tell if they're going to use time travel to explain why there's someone else playing that role, or if...
Just have someone take over.
Yeah, so that's still up in the air. All right, well, should I hit a few more pieces of news? Speaking of superhero cartoons, it looks like one of the speculations I had, I think it was last year, when we first found out that Sony was going to be continuing with an animated Spider-Man cinematic universe.
Yeah.
I had speculated that maybe they would make this Spider-Man universe starring Miles Morales.
And it's come true.
It looks like that is the case. So the Marvel Cinematic Universe will have the young Peter Parker in the live-action role, and then Sony's animated Spider-Man Cinematic Universe will be starring Miles Morales and his cast of characters. So yeah. I'm for it.
Yeah, way to go.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been cast as Doc Savage in Shane Black's new film called...
Doc Savage?
That's right. Thoughts?
I know all of you out there love The Rock.
Yeah.
Getting kind of sick of him.
What's to get sick of? He's The Rock. He's just a great guy.
Well, maybe like two movies a year.
Come on. You know, I also heard, have this on my list of news, but I heard that they are going to be doing a spinoff series from Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And The Rock is going to be the first one to get his own spinoff.
So now we get to have the Fast and Furious cinematic universe.
Why not?
Did you hear what the title of the Justice League movie is going to be?
Yeah, I did. Justice League.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, I think after the debacle that was the title of Batman v Superman : Dawn v period Justice. I screwed that up. Anyway, it's a confusing title. And so, yeah, this is short and sweet.
Well, you know, last week they had some speculation on the different titles that insiders were saying they were, tossing around. And so some of them were like Justice League, Gods and Men.
Yeah.
Justice League, Gods and Monsters. There was some other. Do you remember the other ones? There are a whole list of them.
I think, wasn't one of them Gods Among Us? Like maybe from the video game?
Maybe that's what it was, yeah. Let me do a quick...
I think that it should be called Justice League, We're Sorry About the Last One.
Justice League, We're Trying Again.
We put effort into this one. Jeremy Irons came out and said that it was going to be a better script.
Yeah. Do you think it's bad when actors so quickly are against their movies?
Yes. Well, no, I mean, I think it's a bad sign. I'm all for actors doing it. Uh-oh. I think I'm pro-honesty.
Here we go. I'm on a website that looks like it's going to start playing a video, so just bear with me.
Okay.
Another potential title was Justice League United. Would you have liked that?
That would have been really bad.
Justice League Angels and Demons.
What would that even mean? I love how they have, and this is Batman v Superman, spoiler, everyone, so turn off for the next 30 seconds if for some reason you haven't seen that movie and have a masochistic desire to do so. I love how they're including Superman in the promo images for Justice League already. It's like, they're not even going to pretend.
Well, I've heard other people complain, and you were right. It was Gods Among Us, and then I said Gods and Men, but it's Gods Among Men, and it seems like Scott, what's this guy's name that's doing these movies?
Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Zack Snyder is really set on making all of these movies about how these superheroes are like gods and all that stuff, and bringing in mythology, because all of them, I mean, Angels and Demons, United.
I mean,
so
it's
much,
an interesting take on superheroes. It's just, it's being very badly done.
Yeah, that's a good point. How did that come up? How did we bring that up?
I brought that up.
Okay. I have two pieces of news left. Here's a first one, then we'll go to last news of the day. Disney has announced that the title for the Mary Poppins reboot will be called
Hoppin' with Mary Poppins.
No, Mary Poppins Returns.
They should have hired us.
I know.
That's such a stupid title.
It sounds like Batman Returns to me.
I mean, how Hoppin' with Mary Poppins? Like, we thought that up in 30 seconds. Yeah. We came up with a better title.
And it's gonna
be it writes itself.
He'll be hitting theaters Christmas Day 2018, starring Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins.
All can't right. wait.
What, ready for our last news of the day? Sing it for me.
Last news of the day.
Good job. All right. I'm only bringing this up because I have a bunch of my friends from Bible study that are really into this video game called The Division.
I've heard a little bit about it.
So I guess in the wake of Destiny not being that good,
right?
Xbox released this game called The Division, and it's been very popular, and kind of game fast-tracked to be a film, and Jake Gyllenhaal is going to star in it.
Yeah.
So that's for you guys. If you're out there listening, this news is dedicated to my friends from Bible study.
Not a big Jake Gyllenhaal fan.
You liked Source Code.
Well, yeah, I've liked several movies he's been in.
You just don't like him as a person?
Yeah.
Poor guy. We don't even know him.
No,
he might be a great guy.
I mean, he's an okay actor.
All right. Any thoughts that you have on The Division? Do you know what it's about?
No.
I think there's a war happening.
It's pretty standard for a video game where lots of people shoot at each other.
All right, here's some good listener feedback in relationship to our Space Trilogy talk from a couple weeks back. Here's what Jason says. Jason from South Carolina. Ben and Matt, you're going to really like this.
Okay.
Email. I've always puzzled about the seemingly disconnected tones of Lewis's space books. As I listened to your episode today, I wondered, could Lewis be playing with Dante's masterwork? There's that long worship sequence at the end of Silent Planet that seems to parallel Paradiso. And isn't this world a world where worship hasn't been tainted? Could Paralandra be taken on Purgatorio where Venus is... it says puffed with temptation. I'm wondering if that was an autocorrect.
Probably.
Was Venus ever puffed with temptation?
I don't think so.
Me either. So, and one more question, and then you can tell me your thoughts. Could that hideous strength be Lewis's take on Inferno, where the supposed strength of this world is inverted and mocked?
I think there are heavy Dante allusions throughout, but I don't think that the overall plan was to tinker with or rewrite part of Dante. I think that where a lot of the overlap comes from, though, is Lewis is working out of a cosmology very similar to the medieval cosmology. You go read his book, The Discarded Image, and that certainly goes beyond Dante, though Dante's extremely influential on that view of cosmology. And that's what Lewis is working out of. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of allusions to Dante in the trilogy, lots of stuff. But, even like as far as Perelandra goes, if anything, that's much closer to a rewriting or a different take on Paradise Lost than it is on Dante. So even in that book, Dante takes a back seat, and that Hideous Strength is really more of a rebuff of modernism and very much a philosophical work than it is necessarily an Inferno-esque work. So I would say that Dante's influence is felt heavily throughout the whole trilogy in the background, but is not really ever brought to the forefront the way that Paradise Lost is, or even Gulliver's Travels is in the case of Out of the Silent Planet. So definitely there, but I don't know if I'd go quite as far as what was his name?
Jason.
As Jason is saying, but it's you're spot on, Jason, to recognize that that stuff is there. It's definitely there.
Awesome. All right. I have couple more. We'll decide how long this takes to answer, and then I'll decide how many more listener feedback
okay.
emails we'll read today. So this one I actually emailed to you, so you'll recognize it as I start to describe it. It's the one about the sci-fi progressive rock opera.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read part of this email, not the whole thing, because it's a little bit long.
Yeah, this is from Greg in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, that's right. So let me read part of it so the listeners can get caught up, and then I want to talk to you about this on the air.
Okay.
Okay, so Greg says, "Greetings, gentlemen. I've been a listener of yours for about the past year. This is by far my favorite podcast, only to be surpassed by the Hardcore History Podcast, but Dan only releases those once every 3 to 4 months. You love that one, don't you?
Yeah, it's really good.
So he says, so you guys are in safe in that department. And I have been entertained and educated. It is because of the podcast that I have learned to enjoy Dante, Dark City, and have learned that it is okay and even encouraged to hate everything Disney.
That's right.
Because you guys have exposed me to so many new things, I wanted to expose you to something that I don't think you have ever tackled before." Okay, I'll stop reading there and I'll paraphrase. He challenges us in this email to check out something I've never heard of called Sci-Fi Progressive Rock Operas. He says, "My challenge to you, if you accept it, is to invest 3 hours of your time to listen and then review the project." I don't know if it's a project that he did or if it's just a project that he's familiar with.
I think it was something he's familiar with.
Okay. So take a look at the website, watch a few videos, see if it's something you want to do. I emailed this to you, and I'm just going to respond. Or I'm going to read your response, but then let's talk it out. You said, "I want to read a little more about it before we say we do it, but I think it's an interesting idea. I've heard of rock operas."
So don't feel bad, Jason. I did it too.
"I've heard of rock operas and have thought of checking them out. There's some strong Tolkien influences." No, there's some with some, yeah. There's some with strong Tolkien influences. Okay, let's talk this out. I'm going to be honest, Greg, initially doesn't sound entertaining to me, but I've tried things I haven't liked before. So,
right.
Ben, talk this through with me. What have you looked at the website that he's
on? No, not at all.
Okay.
Done zero work on this.
Yeah, we haven't researched this at all. We're just talking about live here on the air.
So it might happen sometime around the Alan Moore episode. We're 500 episodes into this thing. You got to mix it up every now and then.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not opposed to this, Greg. I just want to be honest. I'm not opposed. It's not initially intriguing, but maybe if I check out this website that I haven't clicked yet, maybe I'll like the idea more.
Right.
So I'm going to put a little note on this to get back to you. After I read some things, I did see that you had exchanged some emails with our listener, Melissa. Well, actually, this was all through Facebook Messenger. So
long time ago. I don't even remember what about.
Yeah, no problem. I got it right here. I can read it for you.
But don't worry, Brian. It was all about just sci-fi stuff. Because that's Brian's wife.
That's true.
You're exchanging emails with our listener's wife. No. It's all on the up and up.
Oh no, I can't find it. It's in our Facebook messages, and I don't know how to get there.
Oh,
exactly.
She was asking about some review we'd done. I sent her a link.
I'll just come back to this one. I'll continue to save this in my folder of feedback.
Well, I think we gotta set Brian at ease now.
Brian, I don't think Ben's saying anything inappropriate to your wife, as far as I can tell. It seemed to be on the up and up.
Right. I can't find it either.
Speaking of Melissa's, there's a Melissa who works with One Day's Wages that asked me to send in a picture of us podcasting because she wants to do like a blog post about us or something.
Should we get like a water bottle and put it on the table or something when we take the picture?
What do you mean? I don't get what.
Well, because it's one, we're sending the water to everybody.
We should have multiple bottles of water.
look at all we've done.
So if you want to help us with our current campaign to raise money for countries that don't have access to clean water, go to onedayswages.org/the-sci-fi-christian.
We should have Des take the picture before she leaves some night.
I think I was supposed to send the picture like a week ago.
Oh,
and so let's just set the camera up there and we'll put it on timer.
Okay. All right. Should we look like we're...
We're really into... Yeah. Let's look behind us here. Do you think there's anything we need to move? Or does this seem like a good setup for podcasting? All right. I think we could wrap this episode up at this point. It's going really well.
My bombshell.
Oh, yeah. The bombshell.
Right.
Let's hear it.
Well, you can give me story time. You don't have.
I don't have it anymore.
We got to do something about this. This is a disaster.
I'll fix it. Give me 2 weeks.
You know, Homeland Security needs to not stand in the way of podcasting.
Homeland Security,
QuickTime back on your.
Asked me and all the rest of America to delete QuickTime off of our PCs.
Well, don't do it.
And my soundboard stopped working after that. I'll fix it between now and eventually this month.
Okay. It's sci-fi Christian story time. All right. So, everybody out there, let's play a little game along with me at home. Who is more positive when it comes to reviewing movies, me or Matt?
I think they're saying Matt.
I think that everybody would say Matt. I would have guessed Matt. Well, I have scientific evidence to the contrary.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so we're both on Letterboxd, which, by the way, is like Goodreads for movies, and so you should go follow both of us out there.
Yeah, so you just go to Letterboxd.
Yeah, it's like Letterboxd without the last E.
Right, and so you go on there, pick a movie, put the date that you saw it, give a rating, a review if you want, and that's how you roll.
Yeah, so I was looking around at Letterboxd one day, and I noticed they have a nice little histogram. Which, for people who don't know what histograms are, from your stats class, it's just like a graph.
It's like a graph, but with numbers and charts.
Yeah, it's like a chart.
Yeah, it's like a chart.
Just Google
like
it.
a bar chart.
A bar chart. Yeah, it's a histogram.
Yeah.
So anyway, that has like it broken down for what percentage of movies you've rated all of their 10 possible ratings. So you can rate a movie from half a star all the way up to 5 stars. So there are 10 possible ratings that count for the histogram. I mean, you could just not rate a movie and just say you'd seen it, but that those don't count as part of that. And so I thought, well, okay, both Matt and I, because I'm looking at your profile now, mm-hmm. we have both rated over 100 movies each. I think you're at like 130 or something, and I've rated 175 or something okay. like that. So we're both up there, and so it's enough to have a statistical samples that are comparable. Obviously, we don't want to go off raw numbers because I'm going to have more because I've rated more movies in all those different categories. But if you go off percentage, that's statistically comparable. So I thought, let's see which of us is more positive. So what I did was I added up all the different numbers and everything and ran them through. And do you want to guess what your average star rating is for a movie?
Well, knowing about some of the movies I've seen,
yeah,
I'm going to guess my average star rating is 2.5.
3.4.
Oh, wow.
So you're fairly positive.
Okay.
Me, like, I'm embarrassingly positive.
What is it?
It's over 4. Like, okay. I'm like 4.06, and it's not just that. You go at every category, 5 stars, I have a much higher percentage than you. 4 stars, I have a higher percentage than you. And then it gets a little murky in the middle, but then we get down at the bottom, 1 star, you're way higher than me. Half a star, you're way higher than me. So everybody, I am positive. I need to be more critical is what I'm taking away from this.
Okay, but we've talked about this off the air. No, I think we talked about this during the dinner and a movie episode.
Right.
So I tend to be less critical about which movies I'll view. So, for example, what I said last week is that during the Christmas season, from Thanksgiving all the way until New Year's Day, Des and I watch almost nonstop cheesy, bad Christmas films. You know, these are the ones that you're going to find on like ABC Family or on Lifetime. I mean, all these bad movies. And I'll rate them, honestly, even though sometimes I do enjoy watching bad movies, I'll still, you know, that's a one. That's a 1.5.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a 2-month period. Well, no, 1.5 where I'm watching a lot of movies in a short amount of time and they're almost all bad. So I don't think that that is exactly fair. What I would like to see.
Numbers don't lie.
What I think would be a better indicator is, I said that kind of funny, a better indicator
right.
would be Goodreads. If we could figure out how to compare our Goodreads.
I don't think they do a histogram. No histograms on Goodreads.
I have, what's this right here? I just found this on Goodreads just now.
Oh.
how hard did you look? So next week we'll come back and we'll give you our details on Goodreads because I think that will be much better because I had 130 movies while on Goodreads I have 1,056 reviews. It says right here, actually you could look this up yourself. Just go to your profile right now on Goodreads. Okay. My average rating on Goodreads is 3.73.
So I just go to my profile?
You go to to my profile, yeah.
3.73.
Yeah, that's what's yours? That's mine.
I'm trying to find it.
It's right under your picture.
View profile.
Okay.
Okay, I click that. It's just loading.
I'm doing it from a browser, though, and you're doing it from iPad.
No, I'm doing it from a browser, too.
So, view profile, and then right under your picture.
Stats?
Nope. Just immediately. Just go view profile.
Oh.
Right underneath your picture.
4.36.
Oh, my gosh. You are more positive.
I am more positive.
Unless I'm just more open to reading and viewing bad material.
But that goes to my favor, too, because it means I'm more discerning.
I would definitely say you're more discerning. There's no doubt about that, because you won't even tackle some things, whereas all of the Transformers movies.
Wow.
Yeah. So what was it again? 4.36. That's pretty interesting. So, and again, minus 3.73 average score. And what was my movie average score?
Like 3.4.
So pretty close.
Now, Goodreads, though, does not let you do half-star ratings, so that skews it a little.
That is. So 3.4 to 3.7 is relatively close. Are your two scores relatively close?
Yeah, it was like 4.0 something.
Interesting.
And so I bet you if you were to take into account half star ratings, we'd be about the same.
Wow. So how many ratings do you have on Goodreads? Like I said, I have 1,058.
778.
Whoa, I've read more than you.
Well, but you've got all those graphic novels.
I do put a lot of graphic novels on there, but do you feel bad about yourself knowing that I've read more material and rated more than you?
I'm just too busy being positive to feel bad about myself.
All right, Ben. Well, that actually was it was a good continuation of last week's segment. So.
Yes, you tried to one-up me there, and it didn't happen.
It didn't work. I guess you're right.
I am a bastion of positive. I need to down a little bit.
Wow, you rate things highly.
Way too high. I only read or watch something I think I'm going to like in most cases.
See, I still say I read a lot that I may know this is just going to be a medium for me, but I still want to experience it.
Oh, see, I don't.
Maybe what I need to learn is be more discerning next
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
All right. Well, after I finish my reading goal, maybe I will.
Yep.
Well, everybody, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am the overwhelmingly positive Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
Goodbye.
Here we are for another reminder. Everybody, go to onedayswages.org/the-sci-fi-christian, where right now you can donate to One Day's Wages Water Fund. That's right. The Water Fund, where everybody is helping out. They're all chipping in so that we can bring clean water to places around the globe that don't have access to clean water. So this week, we've got to thank two people that have given, Robin and Chloe. So thank you to both of you guys.
Yeah.
I see you here. I won't tell your giving levels, but I will read.
If you want to know them, just go out to onedayswages.org/the-sci-fi-christian.
I will read Chloe's message to us. It says, the podcast is one of my favorites. It must continue, else we forget and become like the masses who enjoy Heroes, the X-Files reboot, and any of the other drivel that is fed to us. He does say about the X-Files reboot, just finished watching all the X-Files and listening to Excavating the X-Files, all 14 episodes.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Chloe. That's awesome.
Speaking of Heroes, I want to call out here a second our head writer, Michael Poteet. He posted on Facebook today a Heroes quiz. How well do you know Heroes?
What did he get?
He didn't share his results, but Mike, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, we, you know, if you're going to represent the sci-fi Christian, we got to uphold standards.
So are you coming back with those Heroes rants?
I told you what the condition was.
All right.
You gotta re-up your contract.
We'll see. So again, thank you to Robin. Thank you to Chloe. We appreciate it. And thank you to everyone else out there who's considering donating. It's time to pull the trigger.
I think we should do a conditional thank you to the people who are considering donating.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
We're giving you a conditional thank you.
Please, it will be rescinded.
Please turn your thoughts into actions.
Exactly.
All right.
So what would Jesus do?
He would give water.
He would give Jesus money.
So that one day's wages could bring water, clean water to places around the world that don't have access to clean water.
Or he'd just Jesus teleport over there and make all the water himself.
Yeah, he probably would do that.
Yeah.
Well,
Jesus is always showing off.
Always one-upping us.
Always one-upping everyone.
All right, so long, folks.
All right, goodbye.